He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
Good morning. I wanted to bring us back to the end of the last time I spoke in July. Alethea helped me during my sermon that day to share about her experiences at NYC. And at the conference, there were lots of experiences that the students are, lots of opportunities that they have to experience God and encounter God. And there was a culmination video at the end of the conference talking about like the different things that have happened while they were at NYC. And it was kind of a summary of some of their like times of worship together and the messages that they had heard. And so I wanted to pick up where we left off in that summary of that on that video. They said that we have met God with wonder. The whole theme of the whole conference was wonder. I want you to think about that word as we're talking in the next few minutes. We have met God with wonder. We have worshiped, learned, and experienced. And so we pause to breathe. And together we proclaim, you are God. He is our God of wonder. One of the amazing things that God allows us to experience as women and mothers is being pregnant and carrying our children in our womb. And it is a blessing. It is an experience like no other. It's very different from mothering and parenting your child because they don't talk to you while they're in your womb. It's very quiet, and that is very peaceful. As a young woman, when I was pregnant with Alethea, she would move around and kick and dance, and she would kick to the beat of whatever music was playing around me. And so if it was kind of a lullaby type, really smooth music, she would just kind of like be moving. I know this sounds like really crazy, like I'm a crazy person. However, she would just move in my stomach. And then if we were at church and the church that I grew up in and that my parents pastor, times of worship, there is always a drummer because my mom also plays the drums. And so if there wasn't someone else on the worship team that played the drums, my mom was playing the drums. And she definitely loved that downbeat. And so while we were singing during worship and that downbeat of the drum just beating and playing, Alethea would just kick to that beat and in time. And it was uncanny, and then I'm like, is this real? Is this happening? And that kid, she, from the time she was in the womb to when I gave birth to her, and as an infant, she was just soothed by music. She was moved by music. As a toddler, you would know that she was happy and at peace. She would be playing and doing, you know, doing her own thing. And she would be humming and singing just anything to herself. And just, you knew if that was happening, she was happy. She's in a good mood. This carried on with her, like, through till today, where She's participated in musicals and worship services that the children would be involved in at the church in South Portland. She would be on the children's worship team. And as a middle schooler, she was invited to join the big church adult services worship team. And she was mentored and shaped and trained to be a worship leader and to not lead worship by the importance of it not being that you sound the best, but that you are genuinely worshiping and you're worshiping God with your entire life and leading the congregation to worship God together. Well, she couldn't stop there. She also has been involved in chorus and band and chamber singers since those were options in middle school and high school. And her teachers have been, of those classes, have been really influential in shaping who she is as a musician, as a singer, and giving her life character. And the people who she has been on worship teams with have really helped to shape her Christian character and to continue those methods of worshiping and leading worship that are not about the performance and that this is the best thing that you've ever heard, so come to our church, but that we are truly being led in worship. And so music and singing is something that is very near and dear and close to my family's hearts. Well, while Alethea was at NYC, I asked her to be sending me photos so she could have some to share with you folks at church, which she did. She shared with us several photos and talked about the photos, that some of them that she chose last time during service. Well, during that time, her youth leaders were also sneaking and sending us photos. And one day, Chris Miner, who comes and helps lead worship for us from time to time, he was the adult leader in charge of the main students on this trip. And he sent us a couple of photos and a couple of very short videos, but like just enough content on the video of Alethea when participating with the worship team at NYC. And I know she spoke about this during her report. But when I got when I received those videos and those photos, Aaron and I were driving, and I just sighed and exclaimed to Aaron in the car. I said, "God has blessed us with Alethea." Said she, looking at her participating in worshiping God. So it's Alethea and then Amelia Donahue is another student on our district who's standing to Alethea's left. That God has blessed us with this child, has blessed the world with this woman who is leading them in worship. And it just filled my mother's heart, my heart with gratitude and joy to see her standing in front of thousands of her peers. There's a lot of people at this conference, and there's not a lot of students that you could get to go stand in front of all of those students, all of those people. And that she didn't even have a second thought whether or not she wanted to be part of the worship team, and they didn't have to drag her out and coerce her to participate and to lead worship in this way in front of all these people. Well, she shared in her report that the woman singing with her group So this, there was like on the main stage, there were a lot of students and the worship leaders. And then there were two other platforms, right, that had students standing on them and singing. And so on this one that she was on, the woman in the darker blue shirt or the brighter blue shirt standing behind Alethea, she's the worship leader at Jim and Wendy Briggs Church in Tennessee. And Jim and Wendy Briggs, Alethea shared, they were the couple who invited her to be part of the worship team at SPCN. And the people who really mentored her to be a worshipful leader. And they, Jim and Wendy have now moved to Tennessee. And so their church was represented, and kind of by extension from them, of their worship leader being there with Alethea and this connection. And that there were worship leaders from Tim Brooks's church, who Tim Brooks used to be our pastor at SPCN when Alethea was a very little girl. And there was a whole leadership team in children's ministry under his ministry there at the church, who really shaped the Alethea's early beliefs in, oh, not just Alethea, Alex, Josh, their beliefs as children in God's word and the truth of who God is. And the worship leader from Tim Brooks's current church was also there on the main stage helping lead worship during the conference. And that for Alethea, she said that standing there in that moment and having seen these different workers who she had known when she was little and who had been influential in her life and shaping her Christian character and shaping her ability and confidence in helping to lead worship, having them all kind of all of this coming together like full circle, that those who have loved her and trained her and mentored her, that they are all have come alongside of her through all of her hills and valleys, all of in the song that we sang, that in a way it was as though they were all standing there with her. And kind of that's like the team of people who are, you know, backing her and pushing her forward in her walk with God and in the things that God has gifted her to do, her confidence and willingness to participate in those things and to say yes and step forward into them. When she came home, first when I saw these photos and videos, I was just blown away by, I thought she looks really healthy and she looks really just full of joy and like she's glowing. And when she got home, that like still her countenance was that and still is that. And she was just bubbling over with excitement and joy of sharing how these things all intersected at this conference. And this example of her joy and the bubbliness and excitement just shows that when we lean into the gifts that God has given us, that God will use us to minister for him and to worship him. And when we are living in that, there is a joy that comes. There is a freedom and there's an excitement for who God is and what God has given us the talents and gifts and abilities to do when we lean into using those gifts for God. In the video, the recap video, they said, Change us from the inside out. Pierce our hearts and open our eyes that you would fill us with wonder. So we are not so much unlike the early church that Paul was writing to in Romans, in the whole book of Romans, and especially in chapters 9 through 11 that we're discussing today, in the way that we meet God with wonder and awe every day as we wake up, that maybe you've thought some of these things and wondered some of these things about the beauty of a sunrise, that there's wonder in the curiosity of cloud formations. And like, did anybody else see that that looked like a cat? Like, there's just these things in our world that bring us to a place of wonder. In the mystery of a garden growing and a garden not growing, it's very, fills my mind with wonder. I cannot grow a garden, but some people can grow a garden. In the softness of our baby's skin when they're first born, and they're so new. In the kindness of our Nana's eyes. In exploring his creation and discovering something new, there is wonder in that. We're brought to moments of awe. But we also do a different kind of wondering throughout our days, that we might wonder, who am I? Why have I been born into this family? Why wasn't I born into that family? Why doesn't my grass grow as well as my neighbor's grass? Why doesn't my body cooperate with me? We may wonder, do I belong? And we may wonder, am I enough? They told the students, it doesn't matter how filthy you are or what you have done. God has chosen you. Through the work that Jesus did on the cross, he abolished the law that came before him. Through him, salvation was made available to anyone, to Jews and Gentiles. Anyone who believes. And by Jesus' example, the mission of the church was changed. The law was necessary to bring people to the place of belief in Jesus and in his justification and salvation for us. But it is only through Jesus that forgiveness and new life, that the law, it really desired to do this, but the law could not actually provide salvation. Therefore, anyone who believes in Christ will be saved, whether they grew up under the law or not. Romans 10, verses 11 through 13 says, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We have hands to serve and eyes to see. And God has chosen you, the God that created the universe. In chapter 9, when Paul, he first greets the church, and most of his letters, he gives some sort of greeting, and in this he declares his love and esteem for the Roman church. And then he proceeds to answer this big question that they have had about, it's been on everyone's mind, that the rejection of the Jews and reception of the Gentiles was contrary to the word of God. So in the Old Testament, they had been taught, if you follow the law, this is how we serve God. And so you follow the rules, do what God says, God will not smite you. And that was what they were doing. And that's what the early Pharisees, with all of the, they would memorize and carry all of the laws from the Old Testament. They would carry them with them, and they would strictly attempt to live by them and require others to live by them to be holy. Well, Paul has a lot to say about their question of, if we've been doing this, if Jews have been doing this, why can Gentiles come in who have not been following all of these laws for all of their life? Paul has a lot to say, whether or not they liked his response, where in Romans 9:14-21 says, "What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For Scripture says, to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and hardens those whom he wants to harden. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use?" This metaphor of the potter and the clay, it's a common metaphor used in Scripture, and it's a metaphor that a lot of preachers like to use and talk about because it's a very accessible metaphor. So, like, many of us have experienced pottery making in some way as we've been growing up, and if we haven't experienced it, we are able now to watch a video on YouTube about it and can get the idea and gist of what a potter does by watching this video. Well, in July, Alethea told us about the man who, the potter, the blind and deaf potter, who during his presentation to the students, he was sitting on the stage throwing clay and making a pot. And as he told his testimony, and he made statements about what a good potter does and what the good potter does, he was demonstrating with his hands on the clay and molding it and shaping it and closing it off and opening it back up, and it has a crack in it, and we need to bring it back down to a lump and reform it again, and that it's formed from within, from the inside, not the outside. That the things that the clay might be trying to hide on the inside, once it's ready to let go of those things, that the potter can manipulate it and make it into a vessel of his choosing. This metaphor Paul is using in Romans chapter 9, in the way of us as vessels of God, that who are we to say, Potter, why have you shaped me to be a vessel to carry oil? I really wanted to carry water. And that the potter sees it fit for us to carry the oil. And who are we to ask the maker why he has made us the way that he has made us and shaped us and formed us to the way that he has purposed us and for his use, whether special or common. This metaphor is often used to illustrate the power that God has over creation. That God spoke the world into being. God spoke creation into being and has this power over his creation. That he can appoint one vessel, for example, the believer. He can appoint it to a place of honor for believing. And another vessel, the unbeliever, he can appoint it to dishonor for not believing. That God is the Lord or proprietor, like the caretaker, overtaker of all, and as such can dispense whatever gifts that he wants on whichever creation that he decides. God could have decided that on those who challenge me, they will get wealth. And those who are meek, they have not asked for it and they will not get it. God could have decided that that's how he would be. But God decided that how he was going to dispense his gifts was to be merciful to those that he chooses, and to those that choose and believe in him, that he will redeem those, and that those who choose to not believe, he will harden their hearts to him. In his infinite wisdom, God has shown creation mercy, and he has given all of creation a chance to make the choice to worship him above all else. So he puts it back on the clay. Are you going to let me form and shape you into the vessel that I have designed you to be, to hold oil? Or are we going to fight God and we are going to want it our way? And by wanting it our way, then maybe our spout is closed off, or maybe we have a crack in the side, and so all of the oil leaks out. What Paul was trying to say here was that to this question of the Jews are asking, we've been following the law, and the Gentiles have not been following the law, yet we're all going to get salvation? Like, this is not fair. And so the Jews were like, I don't want this. That's not okay. And Paul was saying, no, through Christ, a new way has been paved where there is now salvation available to everyone. Those who have known and been following the way, and those who they never knew the law, they never knew. And now they know, and they can choose to follow Christ. So this extension of salvation to the Gentiles was reframing the Jews' understanding of the law of Moses And for some, this change was too much. This was too much to ask. And I feel that deep in my soul sometimes, that this change, whatever the change is, it's too much. It's too much to ask. But in this, God is calling the early church, and God was calling the Jews to be open and to welcome in the Gentiles, that the Gentiles could be grafted in to the family of God. There's an imagery in chapter 11 that I won't go into a lot of detail about, this imagery of a tree, of like an olive tree, because those were very readily growing in the area, and so everybody knew what an olive tree was, understood that, and that a new, you know, this, what, excuse me, the idea that the Gentiles were like a branch grafted into the source of the olive tree. In such a way, almost that of like a transplant, which I'm very familiar with, that was like, so my heart wasn't working the way it was supposed to be working, and my kidneys were not working the way that they were supposed to be working. And so God provided a heart and a kidney, and those organs were put into my body, grafted into my body. My body has accepted them and has made them part of who I am. And it has allowed me fullness, a more full life than if I had not had these transplants. And like that, that the Gentiles would be grafted into this tree, the tree where the Jews are naturally growing and part of the tree. The Jews have always been part of the tree. But the Gentiles being welcomed in, that God says in chapter 11, he talks about, well, if the Jews are hardening their hearts toward God, that they will be cut out of the tree, and that the Gentiles who choose to believe, those outside of the Jewish faith and law, will be grafted into the tree and into the family of God. Well, God made this promise of salvation being available to those who are outside of the law of Moses, those who did not grow up as under the law. As early in Genesis, in chapter 21, God promised that not only the flesh descendants of Abraham would be part of that tree, part of the people of God, but that anyone who believes would be saved. That this was a foreshadowing of salvation through Christ, making possible for God to extend his salvation and life beyond the lineage of Abraham, which in the Old Testament, if you really like learning about your family genealogy, and you like doing those tests, like the DNA tests, and seeing like where you've come from and all of this, then you'd really enjoy reading. In the Old Testament, there's lineage, chapters and chapters of the lineage of Abraham, and how Abraham besought, and they besought, and then, King David came and he besought, and then Moses came along and he besought, and leading down to the birth of Christ, and how this lineage can be connected from Abraham down to Jesus. And that's incredible that we have that information, and that God's story has gone that way. And it is also even more so incredible that through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, that those of us who were not born into that lineage can be grafted into that lineage, can become part, become like, when I walk around, I never, unless I'm talking about it like this, but I never think, I have so-and-so's heart in my body. It's not my heart, it's their heart. So I don't even know the name of the person who donated their heart to me. So I don't have a name to think of. But I don't walk around thinking, this is so strange, it's not my heart. I feel like it's telling me to do things I don't want to do, or it has different life goals than I do. Like, it, my heart, this heart, it is my heart now. And I am so grateful for the gift from the person who gave it. But I don't walk around going, you Gentile heart, you better keep listening, because we've always served God, so you better love God. Like, it is a part of me, and I don't think of it as not a part of me. And that we're like that with God, that those of us who are not in the birth line of Christ, those of us who were not raised in the law of the Jewish faith, that we have been made, there's been concession made for us, that we have been grafted in, that God has chosen us. He has chosen those who will believe, anyone who will believe, that they will be grafted in and they will become part of the body of Christ. In verses 24 through 26 of, Romans 9, it says, even us, whom he has also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. As he said in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And in this very place where it is said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called the children of the living God. Thanks be to God. So the journey, the students were told, the journey will have peaks and valleys. The valleys are where you're going to grow and you're going to find hope. The ups and downs, there will be ups and downs, but don't give up in the downs, because there you are reminded that you are not alone. That we are reminded that we belong here. You, right now, at Cape Elizabeth Church on Sunday morning, you belong here. Not because you look a certain way, so we checked a box and let you in the door. Not because you earned your place by tithing regularly or making a special gift or donation. That is not why you belong here. You belong here because God created his people to live together, to live and walk beside each other, side by side, that we are many members of one body, that we walk together through the valleys, through those low times, and through those times where our prayer requests are urgent and get emailed to us to pray right now. We are walking this journey together. God has called us to stay close even when the way forward is unclear. During the conference, every NYC conference, they make this kind of this video clip, like short story, and they give you like little snippets of it at every service. And it's like of people acting, doing something, and then a voice narrating overhead. And this year, the videos are all linked together. You can see them on YouTube if you go to the NYC channel. They are about the journey, this journey that we're on with God and with one another. And in the first video, there's a woman and she sets out to go hiking. And so she's got her gear, she's ready, she's dressed for it. Throughout her hike, it starts to get hot and she has a hair clip and she puts her hair up to get it off of her neck because it's getting hot. And as she's going through, she is drinking some water and she's stopping and resting and she's taking time to notice nature around her. And then when she gets like to the, I'm not going to say this right, I'm not a hiker. When you get to the point that you have been hiking to, the summit. So to me, the summit sounds like it's at the bottom. So it's at the top. And so when you get to that summit, so in this video, when she gets to that summit, she's kind of standing out kind of on the edge of the top of this mountain, and there's mountains all around, and it says, oh, she's hiking in like the in the west, like Grand Canyon area. And so she's standing there and the video like pans back and it shows that she hasn't been hiking alone, that there are people right behind her hiking. And but the camera the whole time is focused on her and what's going on with her, but shows that she's been walking alongside others. And then with each video, it kind of subsequently is then talking about walking alongside one another. And during one video, the three friends who are hiking, they start out from the same point. And they kind of all, their eyes start to wander and they kind of split off into three directions. And so they don't get very far. But then they realize, like, you're not right next to me anymore. Like, you're way over there. And so in the video, they show the person and they're looking around and then they spot their friend and they're waving to their friend and they're like, get back over here. Like, come back here. And so they all come back to this one path, and they're taking that path together, that we were never meant to exist alone, but to stand next to one another, and not just to stand next to one another, but to know one another and to know where the other people in our life are and where they're going. And if they begin to wander, that we are calling them back. And that if we begin to lose our way and our people are calling us back, that we go back to them, that we continue to walk alongside of one another. Because when we walk alongside of one another, we can bear one another's burdens. We can reflect the love of God to one another and to the world around us. That by walking in peace with one another, that we are able to reflect God's love to the world. That freely we have received this message and this extension of salvation. We have freely received that, not because of anything we have done, but because of who God is and that God wants to give it to us. So we have freely received, and we can freely give that to others and share that. And this is how the world will know that we are His, when we walk alongside one another, encouraging each other through the valleys and challenging one another up to the mountaintops.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve Him today.